We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now, hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, the weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your networking community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also find me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Kelly Sample. Kelly is a sales and business strategist and coach. She works with entrepreneurs, small businesses, and professionals to help them create a repeatable and successful sales system and have unshakable confidence in sales conversations so they can naturally and quickly convert more sales and profits in their business. With 15 years in high-ticket sales and 6 years in sales training, Kelly left corporate America and put her skills to the test as an entrepreneur helping other entrepreneurs. Kelly, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm excited for this conversation because sales is something that everyone needs assistance with, right?
That is so true. And sometimes when they don't even think they need help, they need help.
A lot of truth to that. So what inspired you to be a sales and business coach?
Well, it's kind of a funny story because I actually started out as an engineer, which a lot of people did not think that as an engineer, I could sell. And when I wanted to make that transition, I wanted to actually go into technical sales. And they kept telling me, you're an engineer, you don't know how to sell. And so I became a salesperson, really learned the trade of sales and really kind of the ins and outs of conversations and getting to know people, and became a really good salesperson. And then I became a trainer. And when I was working in corporate, I just was traveling all over the country and it just wasn't working for my lifestyle anymore. So I decided I'm going to take this on the road for myself. Like, I get to choose when to travel if I want to travel, but I want to help people, entrepreneurs especially, because people have a lot of really great things to share but don't necessarily know how to do it.
Yeah, wow, that's really an inspiring story, and I can relate to the discussion really about engineers not selling or not understanding the sales process, although I have seen a number of individuals transfer into their specific space and expertise because they can speak the engineering language, and that proves expertise and helps convert the sale. But you've gone way far beyond that.
Yeah, you know, it was so funny though, because they would say I wanted to go into technical sales, and I'm like, well, it's a lot easier to teach people sales skills than it is to teach people the technical side of things.
Yeah, totally.
And I had the technical side, so I was just kind of blown away when I saw that. And I think there were some other factors happening there too. But but again, you know, that was the path that got me to where I'm at right now. And I'm really excited to be where I'm at. I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur. And so last year when I quit my job, I'm like, I'm going full force. And,
cool.
And here I am.
It's scary, but it's awesome, isn't it?
It is scary. And some days it still is. I'm like, what the heck did I do? What was I thinking?
I don't know if that fear is ever going to go away.
I'm glad to hear that, because some days I wake up and go, oh my gosh, why did I do this?
But then you remember why, right?
Yes.
And how awesome it is.
Yes.
So what do you see as the biggest challenge that most entrepreneurs face in their sales and growth?
Well, as I was saying before, that a lot of times when people decide to go out on their own and that they have a certain specialty or a service, that they know how to do that. They know the ins and outs of that, the skills of that. They don't always know how to communicate that to their prospective clients. And one of the biggest mistakes I see people making is that they use their language. And you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. It's like every profession has a certain language that's associated with your industry, and it's very specific. It can be acronyms, it could be different, you know, types of like industry terms.
Sure.
And we use that with prospects, and they don't know necessarily what we're talking about.
Yep.
Sometimes they do, and sometimes they act like they do because they don't want to look stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But that causes disconnect with
totally.
Your prospect, and then they're like, well, maybe I need to know more, or maybe I am not quite qualified enough to work with this person. And so sometimes you close off the opportunity of having them as a client because of that. So you really need to make sure you're speaking your client's language and integrating them into your language and teaching them your language.
And I totally understand this because I have this challenge often in the digital space, as you can imagine. How do you recommend that someone gauge the temperature of the room as far as their level of intelligence related to the industry that you're selling on?
Ooh, that's a really good question. So one of the first things, I mean, you can even do some questioning, mm-hmm. like gauging, anybody know what this is? And then, hey, if not, let me explain what this is, especially if it's a main concept around what you're going to be talking about. Mm-hmm. If there's a lot of people that say, you know, yes, I know, ask one of the people to tell you what it is.
Yep.
Because the thing is if they can reiterate what it is or put it in their own words, people that are like them might understand it more than you trying to explain it with your higher level of knowledge of the subject, right? So then some people can chime in if they think, oh, that's a little off, or yeah, that's right. And then you can move the conversation from there. And what that does too is it also engages your audience into the conversation versus you just talking at them. Yep. So it actually creates rapport when you begin your conversation.
Yeah, that's really good advice for sure. It is a challenge I've seen, especially when you have, as you alluded to, a number of people in the room, mm-hmm. and you don't want to dumb down the conversation to those that do understand it, but you don't want to make those that don't understand it to feel belittled or anything like that.
So you're exactly right.
It's an interesting balance that you have to overcome there.
Yeah, and again, you can talk that higher level, but you need to stop for a second and then maybe do a quick explanation, bring some of those people up. You know, if you don't understand this right now, that's okay. You know, if you're beginning in this area, that's okay. What we're talking about is a higher level. And maybe if it is something that is a higher level concept, letting people know that, mm-hmm. you can continue talking about that for that audience, but you need to put that into context for the people that may not quite be there, to put them at ease so that they don't necessarily feel like they're an outcast in the room or that they're missing something.
Sure. Really good advice. So you've got a fun question here. What was the best experience that you had in your life?
So the reason why I put that question, and actually it goes into some things about networking too, is one of my favorite experiences ever was I had an opportunity to live in Germany for a year.
Cool.
And after college, it was actually an exchange program, and it was a professional exchange program. So 2 months of it was language school, 4 months we had to study in a German university that was linked to our field, and then we had to work 6 months. And so in that experience, I had several living experiences abroad. Like, I lived with a family, I lived as a boarder, and I lived with a bunch of other, like, I lived with
awesome.
A bunch of Australians. You know, so I joke and I say I learned to speak Australian when I lived in Germany, and people look at me like what are you talking about, right? But not only that, I also got to work. I got to go to school. And it's an experience that personally, like, if I could give any experience of mine to somebody, that's what it would do, because it gave me such a different perspective on the world, on life, like everything.
Very cool. That sounds amazing. I always advocate travel and new experiences over you know, just buying things.
Yeah. So, oh, definitely. I think, you know, and if you can spend a longer amount of time somewhere, it can make a big difference, because you have to immerse yourself in the culture, not just be a tourist.
Mm-hmm.
And I love, like, the best way I feel to travel is to go somewhere and make your own itinerary or talk to some locals and ask them where to go.
Yep.
Because if you just follow, like, the tourists, okay, fine, you'll see the hot spots.
Yeah.
But you don't see those cool things. Like, when I was in Budapest, I was an RA in college, a resident advisor, mm-hmm. and I had three students from Budapest. They were three guys, and they were from wealthy families. I could tell because they had to do nothing around their house. They didn't know how to do laundry.
Sure.
They didn't know how to shop,
okay.
like anything. But when I went to Hungary, they said that if you're ever there, give us a call and we'll take you around. And one of them brought me to this museum that was a field of these statues from when Budapest was controlled by the communist regime.
Oh, wow.
And these statues were communists, like communist soldiers with red eyes and holding rifles and, like, kind of scary, weird, freaky stuff. But if you didn't get the perspective of, hey, that was at the time, it was only like less than 10 years that it had been since they, you know, were no longer communist.
Sure. Yep.
And so he gave me the perspective of what it was like growing up in a communist country. I was like, you would never find that on any of the tours. They might say something, but yeah. So
that's
really cool stuff.
Awesome. All right, let's dive into some networking questions.
Yes.
Can you share with our listeners your most successful or favorite networking story that you've had?
You know, it's this question actually ties into my experience in Germany. Mm-hmm. And I said that I had to do a six-month work internship. And so I had to find a job. Well, they had originally said that they were going to help us, but that wasn't so true. We were kind of put out there to figure it out on our own. And I was when I was in school, a couple of the students that were there, a couple of my friends had these newspapers, these engineering like newspapers. Now, this is all in German. So mm-hmm. I got pretty good at speaking German. Speaking the technical German was a little bit harder.
Oh, sure.
But I had this newspaper and I found this article about Sicherheit in Autos, which means safety in automobiles.
Okay.
And that's what I wanted to go into. I studied biomedical engineering and I wanted to go into impact sciences and impact engineering. And so I was like, well, the best way to network is to find people that are doing what you want to do and what you're doing. And so I was like, I need to go to this event. And my friend was just like, you can't do that. Students don't go. This is for professionals. It's really expensive. It was like, I think 3,200 Deutschmarks, which at the time was about $1,600 US, but that was with a really, really good conversion rate. And so I ended up contacting them. I went to the email address and sent them an email and said, I'm an American student. I don't know how much of this I'm actually going to understand, but can I attend and just sit in the back of the room? Nothing. And they wrote back and said, we're so excited that you asked. We want you as our guest. You can come be a participant.
That's
awesome. You can participate in all the events. And the only thing we can't provide you is transportation and a hotel.
Wow.
And I was like, well, good. I have a friend that's really close by. I'll take the train in and out. Okay, good. So when I was at that event, first of all, I walked in. I was one of five women. Only three of them were actually attendees, and I was one of the three.
Wow.
And the other two were designers. All the rest of the people in the room were pretty much engineers. And so right away, I was kind of like, I stood out like a sore thumb. It also didn't help. I had this bright yellow jacket that my brother had bought me for my trip to Germany. So I looked like this like bumblebee in the back of the room. It was pretty funny. But at this event, you know, that night there was like a social and it was a car race. And I was like one of the few women in this car. And we're talking like those really high speed like go-karts.
Okay.
This is before they brought them here. Like, you know, the ones that you actually need to use the brakes.
Yeah.
So I'm like flying around there. And it was funny. I got known as the fastest woman. So and I got this award, this big bouquet of flowers to take with me. Oh, and then I got dropped off at the train station. Well, because of all this ordeal, I really got like, I stood out.
Sure.
Plus they knew I was an American and the last talk was about American and our legal system and all that. But anyway, long story short, the next day I had people come up to me and one guy came up to me and I was like, well, what do you do? He says, I work in accident safety at Volkswagen. And I was like, oh my gosh, I need to talk to you, right? Do you hire interns? He's like, yes. I'm like, you know, when do you have anything available? He says, well, I think in February. And I was like, well, that's when I need something.
Yeah.
And he says, well, send me your information. Send me your resume and, you know, we'll set up an interview. Well, I sent him my resume and I got an offer letter without ever having an interview or anything. And they just invited me on. And one thing, too, it was a paid internship, which in Germany, paid internships were not very common because every student in college has to do an internship as a part of their schooling.
Oh, well, that's good.
So, you know, with all of it is really good. I think that's something that, you know, we should implement in the U.S., but, you know, it's you got to give incentives to the companies to be able to do that as well.
Yep.
But that was like my favorite networking experience because it really shows the power of, one, putting yourself in the room of a lot of people that you know are like-minded and are the people that you need to talk to. But two, when you start opening your mouth and sharing yourself, that you find the right people.
Yep.
And then you get the outcome that you're looking for, or they get the outcome they're looking for, or somebody that they know gets the outcome they're looking for.
Yeah.
So it's a really cool thing.
No, that was a great story to share. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That it's extremely impressive that you were in a different country and just, you know, said, this looks interesting. I'm going to reach out and see what happens. But taking that leap of faith got you an amazing opportunity to intern with Volkswagen.
Yeah. And
what a cool story.
I will tell you, I was super shy when I grew up, and I am more of an introvert. I've kind of taught myself to be a little more social, but going to things like that, I was scared to death. Like, I was like, wanted to turn around, but I knew it was something I needed to do and wanted to do. I was very interested, and I kind of got thrown into conversations because of, you know, standing out, which I wasn't really wanting to do, but I kind of, you know, knew that was going to happen because of just the situation. You know, being a woman in engineering, first of all, you stand out already.
Totally. And then you wear bright yellow.
And then I wore bright yellow. And I'm 6 foot tall, too. Yeah. So like that, like, you put all three of those things together, there was no way I could hide.
Yeah. Well, you embraced it and it worked out for you. So that's fantastic.
Sure did.
So you've traveled the world, obviously, and you've been in corporate America. You've got your own business now. So your network has really grown, and I imagine it's fairly extensive. What do you do to stay in front of or nurture your network?
You know, that's funny, because I think, again, being an introvert, or more introverted in my ways, because I'm not a super social person, it takes a lot of effort to stay involved, even with family and friends. You know, you think of friends from college or family that are distant. It takes effort to stay in contact and to stay in the know with them. Now, of course, with Facebook now, you know, it makes it a little easier.
Totally.
LinkedIn, you know, you can kind of see what people are doing.
Yep.
But it's really about making that effort to reach out sometimes, to kind of watch what people are doing, to congratulate them on new jobs or whatever it is, maybe even just reaching out about their family, kind of just connecting in that way.
Mm-hmm.
What I do is, last year when I took the step out of corporate, I had decided I really need to find some people in Milwaukee that are business owners. I had a larger network nationwide. I traveled nationwide. In fact, all of my coworkers were all over the country because I was in different cities every week. And I've dealt with or been in programs outside. But in Milwaukee, I'm like, well, where are all the entrepreneurs? Where are they hiding?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I need to meet people that are in my local area that not only can help professionally, but also on the emotional, social side of things.
Sure.
Because, you know, when you have people, one thing I realize is, like, a lot of my friends that aren't entrepreneurial minded, they don't necessarily understand some of the things that I'm going through or dealing with. They think it's all like fun and games. Oh, you got your own business. You could stay at home. You could make your own.
Take vacation whenever you want.
Take vacation whenever you want.
You should buy us dinner every day.
Right, exactly.
And
it's like,
millions of dollars.
It's like, yeah, you know what the challenges of working at home is? Guess what? You have everything in front of you that you have a lot of distractions to deal with.
Yep.
But that's what I find that my networking groups have done, is it's giving me not just the networking aspect, but the social aspect and kind of friends that know what you're going through for that support. And that's important. So to stay in front of them, it's just making sure that you're reaching out to them. And when you need help, so it's not such a lonely world, you know, reaching out to the people that understand what you're going through.
Good. It definitely takes that effort. But again, kudos to you for identifying that you need that kind of local support and group, and you've made that happen. So what advice would you offer the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
Well, one thing I would say is, you can't just use one area of networking. You want to diversify. They say that in money, right? Diversify.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, make sure that you have a lot of different areas, but not too many, because too many, you can get overwhelmed really quickly trying to connect with people on many different levels.
Sure.
But I think social networking, pick one or two sites, you know, be active on there, be able to communicate with people on there, find your network, be able to share, like, in groups and stuff. Facebook groups are awesome because you can find like-minded people again and share your expertise, and just from a place of giving versus looking for something, which can actually attract people to you.
Yep.
Right? It's number one. But number two, making sure that you are creating a community for yourself locally to support you, because sometimes, okay, it's great to have national friends, but some of my best friends live, you know, on each of the coasts, and you can't always see them, or if you like just need to like have somebody to have coffee with or sit there with, like, in person, it's really hard to do when you have people that are all over but nothing local.
Yeah.
And so you really need to kind of have both and build both, but it's also good to get the face-to-face, the human touch, instead of constantly locking yourself at home, especially if you're an online or you work from home.
Sure.
You know, it's really easy to get in the trap of always staying at home and not doing anything.
Yep.
And networking groups and networking opportunities give you the opportunity to step out and actually be an adult and get dressed up and, do your thing without being trapped in kind of your household.
Yeah, I've heard that from a number of entrepreneurs, solopreneurs that have started their own business working from home, that they realize it's 3 o'clock and I'm still in my pajamas. Maybe you should just dress up, even if you're not going out, because it's that mindset. Like, you know, what you're wearing kind of definitely fuels, you know, the mindset a little bit.
Yeah, it's a hard habit to break, though. I will tell you, I've worked, even with my corporate job, I worked at home some days, and it was so easy to do that because you're out and about, like, all the rest of the time, and you're doing laundry or whatever, but you're exactly right. When you do get ready and stuff, you are completely, like, you're starting your day, and you're in a different mindset than when you're just kind of, like, rolling out of bed and trying to get to work.
There's two things that you said that I really liked. One was to diversify your network, and you talked a little bit about the social activity, and the local community, as well as you have this national reach. The other thing I really liked is that giving can attract people to you. Let's elaborate into that a little bit.
Yeah, well, so one thing too that I've done is I also am a trained law of attraction coach.
Oh, cool.
And the reason why I did that when I went into business coaching is because a lot of business or sales is really mindset. It's really about putting yourself out there and putting yourself in the frame of mind for people to come to you versus you having to constantly be seeking. You don't want to be the pursuer. You want to be pursued. And the best way to be pursued is be valuable. Like, create value out there. And one of the value pieces that you can create is by giving advice freely. Now, I'm not saying that you need to tell people all the ins and outs and, like, spend, you know, 2 hours explaining something. But in Facebook groups, for instance, when people are dealing with a certain struggle or they're trying to figure out which direction to go, you know, typing a couple sentences that might take you a couple minutes might be very valuable to do, because now they're going to be look at that and go, wow, thank you. You know, thank you for that information. Mm-hmm. And then when you need something, there's going to be people there for you.
Totally.
But if you don't offer that, you're almost like putting up like this wall around you to not let anything in either.
Yeah.
And even though you might be like, well, I want this, but if you're not willing to give, you're not going to get, or what you're going to get is going to be very limited. Or it's going to kind of come from the same space of how you give.
Yeah, really good advice. So you covered digital with the social activities and obviously attending local networking groups. I'm curious, which one do you find more value in, digital networking or traditional networking?
I think both of them are important. I think, you know, as I said before, that you really kind of need to have a balance of both. It also depends what type of business you're in. If you are in a local business, you might want to put more emphasis in the local networking and be in more groups. If you are more in the online space, you want to have your local people because they can definitely support you on one side, but you also want to have your digital side, because if you're online, you need to have an online presence, right? It just depends where your presence is needed. But local businesses, I think one of the biggest things that I see in local businesses is that they don't try and create a digital presence.
Yep.
Or if they do, they put something up and then they don't do anything with it. And that's one of the biggest mistakes, because nowadays everybody's on their phones. Everybody's in these social networks. And if they can't find you there, it's going to take so much more effort for them to find you. Unless
just
they
keep
know
preaching
somebody
it.
Else.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% here.
I know. That's
this
your
is my
business,
space
right?
And our domain, totally, yeah. 100%. But there is so much truth to that. There's times where I'm on my phone researching, you know, a local business because I want to just confirm their hours or how much is this going to cost me or can I schedule an appointment, and I can't find them.
Yep.
So immediately I assume they've closed, right? Or they're not, or I have to find an alternative option.
Or I'm not going to make the effort to look for them elsewhere because they're not where I need. It's all about convenience. You know, it's something recently I heard, and I don't know if it was a talk show or a TV show or something, but I'm like a sponge of information. I hear these things and I, you know, share them. But somebody said that people nowadays, it's not necessarily just about quality. It's about convenience.
Totally.
People will spend their money on convenience. And if you make it convenient for you, your client to find you or to learn about you or to do business with you, it's going to be a higher percentage of people that you're going to be able to convert than somebody that they have to seek you out. And the honestly, nowadays, the only reason why people will really seek you out is because somebody probably told them about you.
Correct.
And that's why they're seeking you out. Yeah. So you already did something,
yep.
right? But it still took an extra effort on the client's part.
Well, the convenience, I mean, Amazon is the best example of that.
Totally.
Right? I will, without a doubt, pay more money for something because then I don't have to go to the store and walk up and down the aisles and look for it, even though it's going to take another 24 hours for it to show up at my house, right? Or now it's even a couple hours.
Well, at the same time, you know, if I go into Target, I'm not just buying that one thing that I needed. I'm now walking away with $100 worth of stuff in my cart, you know?
That section right in front of Target always gets you, right?
Retail, isn't it wonderful? The whole psychology behind that, it's so interesting. You know, putting things right where people are, you know, standing and looking, and everything is placed there for a reason.
One of our team members worked in that space and had, she was designing, you know, the positioning of product and how things would be set up based on the time of year and what was hot, you know, and trends. And it was just really interesting story she has to share about the psychology behind the products are positioned.
Yeah, my sales experience and the commission sales experience was actually in retail and high-end retail. And so now we didn't have all the little things, but there was definitely, you had to know how people think and the process that people go in the buying process.
Yep.
And if you can put that to test, like in what you're doing and really pay attention to that and really structure how you're speaking to people, it depended, or it actually like what could make or break your success.
Totally. Good input. All right, Kelly, if you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
You know, going back to my 20-year-old self, you know, that was like, oh my gosh, I was doing so many fun things at that time. And then I, you know, got my job. I didn't tell you the Germany experience actually ended up in a job back in the U.S. too.
Oh, cool.
Because of working where I was working. And you know, if I could go back and tell my 21-year-old self or 20-year-old self something, is don't listen to other people and their opinions. And, you know, don't let people get you down, that sometimes it's not about you as much as it is about them and sometimes their insecurities that they're bringing to the table. And just keep, you know, keep being determined, keep pushing and going from there. I wouldn't change anything that I've done. You know, it's all learning experiences and brings me to where I am now. But that's probably the biggest thing that I would say to myself, because I put a little too much emphasis into what people thought for too long.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of people do it in that age. Really good advice, though. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
So we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Now, who'd be the one person that you'd love to connect with, and do you think you could do it within the 6th degree?
So, you know, when I was thinking about this question, I was like, well, I've never been like one of those people that has been about big celebrities and stuff. I lived out in Los Angeles for several years. Okay. So it was like, okay, you'd see celebrities here and there, right? And people would freak out, others not. But one person that I'd really love to meet is Ellen.
Okay.
And the reason why Ellen is because she has gone through so much ups and downs and faced a lot of adversity and people telling her she couldn't do things and then she did them, or she had to go through the process of really being like kind of put down. But also she's funny. You know, she doesn't think too much of herself. Like she could goof off and dance and whatever on her show and people don't care. And as far as like – connecting with her. I definitely think because of my roots in Los Angeles, I know some people in the film industry that I could probably get there in maybe, I would say, probably 3 degrees.
Cool. Are you going to start that process?
So that, you know, it's interesting.
You knew I was going to ask that, right?
Well, you know, it's like, well, why would Ellen want to speak to me? So I got to, you know, this is where you get into your internal, like, dialogue, right?
Yeah.
Like, well, what am I going to share? Why would she want to talk to me? Or maybe I need to do certain things until that. So that goes through my head.
Sure.
Right when you asked that, it was like, right in my face.
Yep.
It is something that I don't know if I would pursue right this minute, but it might be something that happens in the future.
Well, let's go back to that previous question, not worrying about other people's opinions a little bit,
thank
right?
Thank you. See, you know, that's the things you teach are the things you need to learn, right?
I know. I need to drink my own medicine every once in a while, too.
Well, and it's not necessarily about just practicing what you preach, but it's also, you know, we get good at what we teach by the things that we had to go through and had to learn.
Yes.
And it still comes back. Those stories are always embedded in our mind, and they always come back. Like I said, it was like a flash in my face at that moment. So I will take that as good advice. Take that, put that in my pocket.
No, that's fun. I like Ellen. I have a lot of respect for her. She is entertaining. She's genuine. That's I appreciate that for sure.
Yeah.
So as a entrepreneur, I imagine you are reading lots and lots of books. Constant you spoke to it earlier. You love knowledge, right?
Yes.
So what book are you reading right now?
So I am a serial reader, meaning that I'm reading multiple books at once.
I am in that book.
And I rarely finish them. I always have a stack of them. I read a couple chapters here and there. But a couple books that I'm reading right now is Jen Cicero's You're a Badass. And a second one is a book called The Subtle Art of Giving an F, right? And that one, it's kind of in your face. It really is a book about, again, not really caring about what people think and choosing the things that you care about and that you put your energy to. And it really spoke to me, even though some of it can be a little brash at times.
Sure. Oh,
obviously,
yeah.
With that title, you know, you have to be very comfortable with language. And then another book that I'm reading is Russell Brunson's Expert Secrets. I've read his .com secrets and Expert Secrets, and he's a great storyteller.
Hmm.
And that book is kind of interesting because it's kind of in my space.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't heard of Expert Secrets, but I've read the other two that you mentioned, which were good reads, and I can relate with the whole serial reader I have. I couldn't even tell you how many books I'm actually reading right now.
Right.
And it takes me forever to read them because
yes.
It's like, oh, I'm going to pick up this and read a couple pages and put it down. And next day I'm picking up this other book that's sitting over here. And
My husband looks at me and goes like, are you actually reading all those books? And I get so mad at him because he can read like a 600-page book in like a day and a half. And I'm just like, how? How do you read that fast? I wish I could read that fast because then I would actually get through half these books.
Yep. Like, I read fiction very fast, but that's because it's like a story playing in your head.
That might be it.
But the nonfiction stuff, it takes me a long time because I really like to digest it, and I tend to reread paragraphs until I understand exactly what's being communicated.
Yep.
So that's probably the reason it takes forever to read those books.
Yep.
All right. So, Kelly, any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
I would just say if you think that you need support in some areas, and even if you don't, reach out and join some networks, at least go visit a couple of them locally, meet some of the people around, see what they're dealing with. Chances are somebody's dealing with the same things you are. But also, you know, people need to hear from you as well, and you have a lot to offer. You know, as an entrepreneur, again, you have a service or a product that people need and people want, and you're good at delivering. It's just now you have to find your people, and you have to find the people to speak to instead of hiding and keeping it to yourself. Like, sharing it is like the ultimate, and you're gonna have a lot of fun doing that. So networking, even though it seems like it can be kind of stressful, you should really go out and experience it and at least try it to see how it works for you.
Absolutely. It's not scary. It's no, fun.
It is fun. It is fun. Now, going to an event that's like 300 or 3,000 people, that's a little overwhelming, but start small.
Both of them can be small groups, large groups, whatever. It's mm-hmm. It is what you make of it, right?
Very true.
Callie, if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way that they can reach you?
So the best way would probably be my website.
Okay.
It's www.kellysample.com.
All right.
And go on there, and I have all my contact information and ways to contact me.
Okay, cool. We'll include that link in our show notes.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for being on the show today, Kelly.
You're welcome. It's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. All right. This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Kelly for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we will see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.